43 days ago, or 40 days ago, traditionally speaking, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. Now, oddly enough, if you spend some time reflecting on the readings for that day, and especially the event of the resurrection, it kind of left us in an anticlimax, or a cliffhanger, because we left the resurrection with the disciples walking away overjoyed after seeing an empty tomb. That's all. That's all there was to the resurrection. An empty tomb, a couple angels, and they walked away confused or full of joy, depending on what gospel you read. That's where we're left at, which is kind of unfortunate because it makes us wonder, what was the point of the resurrection? We didn't have new life at that moment. We didn't experience anything new. What was going on? And even Mark's gospel for today, which is very odd, added on another piece to help us understand what was going on. Some scholars believe that the gospel originally ended with the disciples walking away confused. Well, that's a pretty terrible ending. So they added on to make sure we knew what happened, that Jesus rose and then came back, told his disciples what to do, and then ascended, and then now we're done. Yay, conclusion. Which leads us to today, that as we're like the disciples, sometimes we're staring at the sky wondering what's going to happen. But the ascension coincides strongly with the resurrection, and that the ascension of Jesus shows us why the resurrection was important. What was the benefit? What does it mean for us? What does all this do to connect with what we ought to do as Christian people? And so we can spend our time staring at the sky, but the disciples show us something very important by their action of staring up. If we go back in Scripture, there's two points in which someone did rise to heaven. We have Enoch, from the book of Genesis, who just kind of disappeared. And they say he walked with the Lord, and that's all we got. The more exciting one comes from 2 Kings, in which Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, crossed the Jordan River, and upon crossing it with Elisha, these chariots of fire came, which, make it whatever image you want, these chariots of fire came and swooped him up into heaven, and then he was gone. Elisha, understanding what was happening, waited, and as soon as he was whisked away to heaven, received a double portion of his spirit. He received Elijah's inheritance. So now he can have the same power and authority of Elijah. Which, at the cross, they were wondering if Jesus was calling for Elijah. The disciples, in the same vein, were staring up as Jesus ascended into heaven, wondering, what now? What is he going to send? What are we going to get? And that's exactly where we need to spend time today as well. What does the ascension mean for us? How do we cultivate a sense of it in our lives? How do we make it make meaning? So St. Paul today, in his letter to the Ephesians, guides us to see several ways in which we can experience Jesus' ascension and how it has powered our lives. The first one is slightly obscure, but rather important. Unity. He talks about the unity of us, the unity of the Spirit, the unity that we desire in our lives. Because think of it this way, we're fairly fragmented people. We have parts of ourselves all over the place as we're trying to do all these tasks, to the point where our life is kind of like a puzzle with mismatched pieces. We're trying to get all these pieces together into a cohesive whole, but doesn't quite work. We're constantly striving for unity, constantly trying to put all the pieces together in such a way to make this kind of peacefulness in our lives. Well, this is essentially what Jesus did at the resurrection and made clearer in the ascension by sending his Spirit upon us, that his desire, his great desire for us is unity. And the only way we get to unity is by having a firmness of purpose, a directionality, something that does bring us that unity. God, you know, Jesus, through his gift of the Spirit, through his life and ministry, through his challenge to us, brings us that sense of direction and purpose, that intentionality to our lives that puts all the pieces in their rightful place so that we can be unified, whole, holy, all the same words. So the first point of the ascension is to realize that Jesus gave us power and authority and strength and the Spirit that we may be unified, may have oneness of life and purpose. The second main point is that he gave us an inheritance. This really doesn't make a sense to a lot of us because we're like, well, what does that mean? I don't get any money from this. Like, what does it mean by inheritance? Well, there's several sides to this. The first one is rather important. We are the sons and daughters of God. That is the first part of our inheritance. By Jesus rising from the dead and taking his seat at the right hand of the Father has brought up all of creation and especially all of us into the mystery and life of God. We now sit with him at his right hand too because we are united with him. And in that way, we are sons and daughters of God. And more importantly, we now have God as our Father. As Jesus told Mary Magdala, I am ascending to my Father and your Father. It is now God our Father. So we are his sons and daughters. As sons and daughters, most of them get some sort of inheritance. What is ours? Heaven. What more could you want than heaven? And that is the point of the ascension too, that by Jesus becoming where he ought to be in heaven, by taking his rightful place, he now draws all of us up into the life of heaven. That means now we merit heaven. He has opened the gates for us. He has paved a way. He has made a path so that we can attain heaven. We can be there. And that's an essential part of the ascension. Because he's at the right hand of the Father, we have salvation. The third one's a lot more obscure and hard to grasp. St. Paul talks about it and then just kind of dances away from it. It's our calling. We have a calling because Jesus ascended. And St. Paul expresses it in these words. I urge you, brothers and sisters. I lost it. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord to... find it here in a moment. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. Worthy of the call you have received. What is this call? Isn't that the big question? The problem is he never explains it. He just assumes we know what it is and he moves on. Well, there's actually a point to that. Without expressly stating it, he gives us a lot of meaning and a lot of options around it. We're called to be the sons and daughters of God. Therefore, we live in a manner worthy of that, that God has called us to something special. In the same vein, we're also called to be his mouthpiece, his people to the world, which means we live in such a way as to show forth the grandeur and splendor of God as we live our lives, which most people think that means being perfect. I have learned very sharply that that means being real more than anything else. But the more important calling, and the one that comes out of our gospel, is the one call that Jesus actually gave us, the only one. And that is to go and make disciples, to evangelize, to spread the gospel message. This is what he told us in every gospel account once he came back after the resurrection. You are to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is our principal call. God wants all people with him in heaven, which means our call is to go find them and bring them in, which is even more hard than we think. Because what does that exactly mean? How do we go find people? What do we do? But that's not the important part. The important part is to recognize that we are called and to constantly explore it in our life of faith, of how do we live out what God has challenged us to be, to do, and for his sake. So the ascension teaches us many different things about the nature of God and who we are, and guides us to really experience the fullness of the Easter season. For from it we know that we are a certain people. We are called to be the sons and daughters of God. We have an inheritance. Through his Spirit, which we'll experience more next week, we have a unity to us, a firmness of purpose, a reason that leads to our final call. We are called to evangelize. We're called to spread the message of God. We're called to spread the gospel message wherever we go and call people into this light, help them to experience the graces and mercy of God and live true and full and unified lives. This is what the ascension teaches us, that Jesus rose to the right hand of the Father that we may have new life and we may have the blessings that come from God's throne.